Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm Jeff Howard, and I'm super happy to have Christina Birdsall in the room across the table from me. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
All right. If you want to learn all about Christina and her wonderful short film, Annie and the Scar, listen to the podcast before this one. Annie and the Scar pulled in two awards at Film Invasion Los Angeles last year in 2023. I guess sometimes I'm aware that, hey, maybe someone will listen to this in like 2028. I haven't told you yet. One of my goals with the podcast, now I'm going to like really throw a compliment at you, is I'm hoping that like, you know, your household name 5 to 10 years from now, and people are like, oh my God, I love Christina Birdsall's new series on the streaming service that has not been invented yet. And it's the hugest show in the world. And then they'll like Google you and they'll listen to you like when you're on the festival circuit.
Yeah, I love that for both of us.
Isn't that a cool time capsule idea though? Yes. Like you know, like if someone had interviewed, what's that guy's name? Steven Spiel something.
Yeah.
Like he had that short Amblin on the festival circuit in like the 70s. Imagine if there was actually like an interview with him like when he was on the festival circuit.
Amazing.
That would be like the only time I would want to listen to. I've already insulted like the most beloved director on earth. Okay, so if you want to learn about Christina and her film, listen to the podcast before this one, because this one is a four questions episode, which means Christina is going to answer these four questions, which are: name three favorite films, name an underrated film, name an overrated film, and name a lesser known film that people should seek out. And now I'm going to shut the fuck up, but I did squeeze in the first F word of this. I got to swear first. No one's ever sworn before me, but someday I'll challenge someone to that. But you want to name three films you love?
Yeah. So when I was going through and thinking about this, I think we were talking about this before you hit record, I got like so insecure because I don't necessarily have, like, I love comedy so much and they're not that revered. And so there's not like, there's this insecurity with like, oh, I have to say these really important film school films or things that are studied or they're on the list by all the fancy people. And so I had to sort of come to terms with, okay, it's not me. And I also am terrible with names. So I'll think of a name to a movie and I'll not know who what the director's name is. I'll forget the actor's names. I just know I love it. So anyways, all that to say, when I was trying to do the three favorites, I could not narrow it down, but I came up with like sort of three categories. So first category, The Hangover and Bridesmaids. Both, I think I've always loved those, like a Hangover kind of movie. And when Bridesmaids came out, it felt like it was the version of that where I could see myself in it. They're so amazing. I can watch Bridesmaids over and over and over and over. And I think to me, to have a favorite film, it's got to have that like watchability where I can just, you know, you're having a bad day, whatever, you can watch this movie. And Kristen Wiig is fantastic. And Bridesmaids is so well written. And it's just so fucking funny. I love that movie.
It's nonstop funny.
Nonstop. I mean, out of the opening scene where she's screwing John Hamm is so fucking brilliant. I mean, all of it. I just love it. I love that movie.
All of it. And she does such a wonderful job. I can't name her co-writer, but I know her fellow groundling, I think, was the co-writer,
yes.
Right?
I wrote down her co-writer, Annie Mamulo. She's also an actress.
Yeah.
They wrote it together.
But also, I just love that cast. I love the mom.
Oh my God, I forgot about her.
From Reno 911.
Yes.
I used to know her name, but like every character is funny. It's just sad. That's a great one. And The Hangover is hilarious, too.
The Hangover is also great, yeah.
Kind of a bummer. There's like seven of them, or only three. But actually, I kind of like them all, I think. But they are very dude.
Yeah, they're very dude. And I think a lot of the things, movies that I've liked are very dude. And so I want to see more of that, but like with women, you know? Which I think it's great. Like, that's why they remade Ghostbusters, like some of those movies, so we could see ourselves in them. But yeah, so first of the like, favorite.
So like slapstick comedy in a way,
yeah,
or just straight up comedy.
Straight up comedy, yeah. So my second sort of category, it's weird. I just thought of movies that were formative when I was a kid. And the first that came to mind, Drop Dead Fred. What About Bob? Hook, Goonies, and E.T. Drop Dead Fred, What About Bob, and Hook all came out in 91. I don't know what the fuck was going on in my life at that time, but those movies all, like, really stuck in my brain.
And by the way, Drop Dead Fred.
Do you know the movie?
Yeah, of course. Phoebe Cates and her imaginary friend from childhood appears when she's like 20, mid-20s.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's a wonderful example of what you do with your writing.
Exactly. Yeah, that... I actually rewatched it for research with Annie just to see, like, oh, this imaginary friend, you know, coming back into your life or whatever. That's a different scenario. She had imaginary friend when she was a kid. But yeah, I love those movies. Also, magical realism that we're talking about in the other episode. And, you know, they're just, What About Bob? Have you seen that?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. I still reference that. Every time you eat something really good.
I'm just going to say that I can, that's a Frank Oz film.
Yes.
And I think Frank Oz, who you might know as Miss Piggy and other Muppets that he did, is one of the best, most underrated directors of all time. I think Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is the funniest fucking movie ever made and the smartest comedy ever made. I think Frank Oz is just a brilliant director and never got the credit he deserved.
Wait, did he? He didn't direct the Muppet movies. He was just in. Did he?
I don't think he. I don't know if he directed them, and I don't even know how he ended up directing. But I used to be able to name more films that he directed. Right. But like every time he directs, it's great.
Yeah, that's a great. I need to rewatch that movie. That's the one thing I regret is I didn't rewatch some of these before we chatted because I was like, oh yeah, these are so good.
You know, someday if it ever happens, I'm gonna hook you up. I know a. Filmmaker of a couple who makes films together said, we have an idea for a podcast. Have people come on, talk about their favorite movie from when they were young, then have them watch it again, and then talk about what it's like to watch it after a 30-year break.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be like...
Oh, I'm here for that. Because
I wonder if shit holds up that I love, right?
Yeah, or like, oh, is this just doesn't... This would not be made now. You know, like so many things that are like, oh, that's not okay. Why did they say that in that way or whatever?
Oh my God, yeah, so many things you know? Don't age well.
Yeah, don't age well. Exactly that. Yeah. We're so formative. And then, you know, Goonies. Hook, so great. Also, magic. There's a big magic theme. Goonies, E.T. Yeah, so that's my like second sort of like formative kid category. And then my third is I was just obsessed with Brad Pitt. And not because he was super hot. I just, like, I had a Legends of the Fall poster on my wall. And I continue to be super obsessed with, like, him and all of his movies. It's just, I don't know. It's just a thing. And actually, weird fact that I'm just coming into my head. I got married on his birthday. We didn't know that going into it, of course, because that would maybe be strange. But yeah, so
it would prove you have a very understanding husband.
Yeah, so maybe shout out someday. I'll be working with Brad Pitt, and you'll be like, oh, I remember talking to Christina about Brad Pitt on that podcast episode.
I have joked many times on this podcast that I'm allergic to Tom Cruise. Like, I'm just allergic. Like, I just don't see his films. They're not for me. I think he does all right without me. By the way, he doesn't need me.
I don't think he does.
But I think I'll watch. Anything with Brad Pitt in it. Bullet Train, this, that, that. If he's in it, I trust that he, and maybe it's the people he's hired to work with him with that Plan B Productions that he runs, but he doesn't do bad things.
No, and he's so funny too. Like, I remember watching Thelma and Louise, which is also another great movie. Yeah.
Even when he's like, oh, that was so powerful when Harvey Keitel said to him, like, these women had a chance till you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the heavy, but he's great. I'm with you. He's great. So just Brad Pitt films.
So
in general.
That's just Brad Pitt in general. Like, I just love his movies and, I think he's wonderful.
He is wonderful.
And maybe that makes me like, I don't know. I just do.
I'm with you. I like what you did with it. I like how you answered the favorites question. And I do love Brad. I do like looking at him too. I'll admit it.
Yeah, my husband also, we both love Brad. Like, he's on both of our list.
My Once Upon a Time in Hollywood reaction was when Brad was on screen, the film was an A+, and all the stories about, it wasn't Leo's fault, but I found his character like B-minus-y. Like, I just didn't like that character as much. If someone did a, like, you know, someone down torrented the film and then recut it so it was just a Brad Pitt one-hour movie about Brad Pitt's character, fucking brilliant.
You know how people recut movies or things? That'd be an interesting, like, I'm just going to recut to make everything be Brad. Like,
why not?
Yeah.
So all right. Cool. Question two is underrated.
Yes. Okay. So I have two movies that I thought of. One, Baby Mama. Have you seen it?
I think so.
Came out in 2008, I believe. I had it on DVD. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. The guy who wrote and directed it comes from SNL, I believe. Also did Boss Baby, wrote those, which is a great, great movies for kids. More for adults than kids. But yeah, Baby Mama is so good. Tina Fey is this lady in her late 30s that wants to have a kid. She's going to do it on her own. And so she gets a surrogate. And that's Amy Poehler. And it's just,
Amy Poehler does her white trash girl.
Yes. And I love the
I use that term. I apologize. But.
The relationship between them is so good. It's not like, you know, it's not about a male-female relationship or, like, it's not about that romantic love. It's just – it's so great. I just love that movie. It's so funny and it's so underrated, I think.
Even though we get to watch those two perform together a lot, we actually don't get enough of them together.
No, we don't. We should have
like
more.
The occasional awards show now. Mm-hmm. When was the last time they were in a movie together or a TV show?
Oh, man. I don't know.
They are magic on screen together.
Yes. And you get some other great players in that. I think Dax Shepard's in it. Moira Turney. Am I saying her name right? She's
Moira
in it.
Moira Turney. She might be my Brad Pitt, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's loaded. It's great. Yes. So that's underrated. And then a recent movie, which I think was underrated. Nobody really talked about Lost City. Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, also our friend Brad.
I didn't see it.
Dude, it was the first movie I saw back at theaters after COVID. Oh my God, how fun. It's just a fun popcorn movie. It was so great. Harry Potter's in it. Sorry, he probably hates that, but Divine Joy Randolph's in it, who is amazing. It was just chef's kiss. Such a fun movie. Exactly what I needed.
I am taking the time to type that into my phone of movies to watch because I can't believe there's a Sandra Bullock, Brad Pitt film that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's, yeah.
But when you tell me when it came out.
Yeah.
I was busy watching film festival submissions and not going to the cinema anymore.
Right. Yeah. It was the first movie we saw after COVID. Maybe came out in, what, 2021, something like that. Yeah. Was great. So I recommend.
Excellent. And now an overrated movie.
Overrated. Oh, man. This is really hard. I think, and this maybe is a cop out, but like just in general, movies that are too long, I think made by fancy directors, sometimes, listen, I'm not saying they can be really, really great, right? But I think people bandwagon, and just because it's made by somebody who's already uber famous or already had many accolades or awards, people are so quick to be like, this is the greatest movie ever. And it's like, no, it was a good movie. But like, was it the best one? Can we just calm down? I think people jump on this person's already approved, the stamp of approval of like serious filmmaker. And it's like, okay, calm down. Calm down. So.
Yeah, Scorsese could probably make a good 90-minute film if he felt like it.
Yes.
But
let's
you reach a point
shorter.
Where you're in love with the smell of your own farts.
Yeah.
And no one can tell you to cut it shorter. Mm-hmm. And so you don't. And I mean, I think Oppenheimer was perfect. That one didn't have to be shorter. I didn't care how long it was. But yeah, I'm with you.
Too long. There's a guy on Instagram, and of course I don't know the handle, but he sells these hats that say something like, make movies shorter. And I agree. I don't have the time to sit through 4 hours. Can we just agree, make it shorter or make it a series? So, because I don't like stopping and starting a movie. You lose that momentum, which is the only reason why I was able to watch Oppenheimer in one sitting, because I saw it in the theater, so it forced my butt in the seat. Because it's hard to find that big chunk of time for me at least. So yes, I think too long movies, they're Let's make him shorter. Overrated.
Excellent. A way to dodge shitting on somebody. I like it. Even if you we chat a little bit on. No, you didn't. You didn't name anyone. I named
I one. Didn't name anyone. It's yeah. so hard. I mean, like, I listen. But like,
look, I think everybody, I mean, Judd Apatow jokes all the time about his films being too long.
Yeah. It just doesn't need to be long. Too long.
No.
And in that same vein, I think there's a lot of movies that I have maybe judged as like, oh, this is going to be shit because I thought that they were like going to be long and boring. And then I watched and I realized, oh, it's just me sort of being a little judgmental on those more serious cinematic experiences because I feel like they are revered more than what I genuinely like, which is comedy.
And you haven't mentioned the fact that these longer films that come out right before Thanksgiving and or Christmas that are clearly Oscar bait.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, something really long set in a time period in the past.
Made by an old white dude.
Made by an old white guy who, that's just Oscar. Like for some reason, if you want an Oscar, it's got to be over 2 hours and Victorian or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I remember a cinematographer saying, it's called rent a period. Like just rent a famous period and then you get your Oscar. But for some reason, if you set a film today, it's just they don't take it as seriously.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some weird unsaid rules that we should just throw out, I think.
Yeah, because there's great stories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We live, and I'm with you about, by the way, I didn't say it, but comedy not getting its just desserts, totally. I mean, why Bridesmaids wasn't nominated.
Oh my God, it's a perfect movie. It's so good. That I don't understand. I think, I don't know, is that maybe sort of changing now, like Barbie, you know, maybe is, would that have gotten nominated like 10 years ago? It should absolutely be, but you know what I mean? Like, so maybe it's changing. I don't know. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's the same.
It might be an outlier. I wish it wasn't an outlier, but it might be. Yeah. Because actually is, but it's serious too in its own way. I don't know. All right.
Okay. And then the last one.
Last one.
But let me see.
Yeah. Lesser known.
Lesser known film. But I'm a Cheerleader. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Natasha Lyonne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm Clea DuVall.
Yeah. As she gets sent to the camp to not be gay.
Like not be gay. Yeah. The
conversion camp, which is a real thing.
Which is a real thing. But the way that Jamie Babbitt, is that how you say her name? The way she tells the story, it's this like, it's made in such a fun, ridiculous way because, yes, the idea of conversion camp is ridiculous. I like... but she, I don't know. I just really liked that movie and I actually watched it, somewhat recently. I didn't watch it when it came out, probably in the last like 3 or 4 years. My husband was like, I think you'll really like this movie. And he was right. It was great. And I never knew about it. So maybe I was the only one that wasn't in on the secret and everyone else knows about it. But, if you haven't seen it, I recommend it.
I think, yeah. And I think it's kind of from, oh man, I'm going to use this term, but it's kind of from the golden era of indie. Like that was a very independent film.
Yeah, yes.
Back when independent films still got a theatrical run.
Yeah, when did it come out? Like early, like in the 90s? Like,
well, based upon the woman I was married to when it came out, I can guess it's like 1999.
Wow, that's wild.
Back when something that was original and independently produced could get a nice little run and get a little attention and have a run on home video and then end up on HBO and then lots of people see it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that happens anymore.
I don't know, but that can be changed.
Because you know what? In 99, people still rented movies, whether you looked at the spine, and I bet the words, but I'm a cheerleader, on the spine of a VHS or a DVD or whatever, at Blockbuster.
I don't know how I missed this movie when it came out, but I did. It was a big miss on my part. But yeah, Blockbuster. I remember simpler time. There's so many choices now, which is amazing. You can watch anything you want. But also, you know, like most, sometimes I get overwhelmed by all the choices.
It's overwhelming and there's too much. And now these younger people want me to watch all the stuff from Korea. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. So now, yeah, whole nother culture. Great. Now I've got 700 more movies to watch instead of just like the 20 that were worthwhile that came out this last year.
It's sort of, and then there's so much great TV.
So much great TV.
Yeah, there's just a lot. You have to pick
As you said, the long one, make a series, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, we can watch 8 1-hour episodes and not be mad. But if you make a 3-hour movie, you're asking too much.
Well, it's the one sitting. I hate stopping a movie and then picking it back up. I had to, and this is, I don't think this movie was too long. This is just called, you know, having limited time and being a parent, and we ran out of time. But it was a movie that just came out. Nicolas Cage was in it. American Dream? Is that the movie? It's like
maybe.
Oscar movie.
The last one I saw him in was Renfield.
Nicolas Cage, I think it's called American Dream. I had to stop it midway through just because of life, and it took some of the momentum away from watching it. So that's why
it
I
really
don't like.
Does.
If you're watching like an hour long show, yeah, you could binge 5 in a row if you really wanted to. But if you need to stop after an hour, you can. You know, you're not missing the momentum. So that's why. That's my TED Talk about too long.
Absolutely. Oh, a TED Talk. That would be fun. TED Talk about movie watching. How to watch film.
How to watch film.
The answer is in one sitting. And preferably with your phone off. Like I really have to push the phone away when it's a movie. But for some reason, a TV series, I can do that crossword puzzle.
I'm trying to be better about just phones down, just wherever I'm at, be where I'm at, because my brain gets really overstimulated quick. But it's hard. I have to remind myself every day.
Yeah. And there's a young person looking at you.
Oh, yes.
And I know I worry about that. I worry about that.
Yeah, no.
It's a little late for me to worry about it, but.
Yeah, it's already in there. No, yeah, he definitely sees like, you're on your phone a lot. That must be pretty darn important. So it's a.
And I really want my own soon.
Yes.
Yeah. No social media till 16 should be the rule.
Yeah, no, there's not going to be social media anytime.
And no.
Soon.
But man, I got to admit. When the kid is screaming, handing him an iPad or turning on their favorite. With us, it was Shaun the Sheep. I don't know if you've discovered Shaun the Sheep yet. I don't know what streaming service it'd be on now. But the guy who did the clay animation, Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run.
Yeah, I know.
The stop motion clay animation.
Yeah.
He did the cutest thing in the world about sheep in England.
Oh, that's
like this
fun.
Little baby sheep.
Is it a movie or is
no,
it
it's a TV series.
Series?
Silent. It's done like Charlie Chaplin comedy style. So it's
well, that
anyway,
sounds like a slow paced great thing for a kid to watch.
Wonderful
if they're
for a kid.
Something.
So it's just like, oh, the kid's crying. All right, I'll put on Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you gotta like use some screen time. You know, I mean, it's like what's worse, being really impatient and grumpy with a child or just give him a little screen time?
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to
and
like,
get him into a movie. Put on the favorite movie. Because I think I won't be the first person to say somehow kids can watch the same movie 20 times.
Yeah. It's actually better that he sees the same movie over because it's not like he's in that zombie mode. He's playing along with it. It's different. It just hits different. And I think there's something that's good for them developmentally. Because they can predict the next thing. They know what's coming. It makes them feel good, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
All right.
Excellent. Excellent list. Excellent list. And your website and social media will be clickable links in the show notes.
Great.
For those who need to know your name, Christina Birdsall. I think it's pretty much, you can't spell it wrong, can you? Like you'd have to be pretty close
like a
to
bird,
illiterate.
Like a bird, S-A-L-L. Right? I definitely, people have mispronounced it and misspelled it for sure, but.
Well, all right. So I was overestimating everyone's abilities. I was like, if you go to ChristinaBirdsall.com or at Christina Birdsall, very cool that you have a unique enough name to have your .com and your @. Needless to say, I could not.
Yeah.
My parents did not help me out on that one. All right. I will get us out of here by blabbing off with my closing spiel, which is thank you for listening to the Discover Indie Film Podcast. If you want to learn more about it and the TV series born from it, go to discoverindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's always at DIFWINS. Annie and the Scar, that was Christina's film. That's How I Met Her. It won awards at the Film Invasion Los Angeles. If you want to learn more about that festival that we hold every June, just go to filminvasionla.com or it's at filminvasionla on social media. Still accepting submissions for the June festival, but I think the deadline is either March 15th or April 15th. I forget which one.
It's coming up.
And it has a sister festival every November called the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. Learn about that one at ShermanOaksFF.com and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. Why do I feel like I said that wrong? And finally, just go to WatchTVHigh.com. Doesn't matter how you spell it, TVHI or TVHIGH. That's a new streaming service populated with wonderful indie films and other great stuff. Stand-up, a series. I'm going to tell you about a magical realism series right after we stop recording. Christina, thank you for coming over.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Bye.